You know, we're going to be going into inner healing pretty soon, I think. I think. A good idea for you if you have self-image issues, like, you know, if you have a, some people like me, just say like me because it was my truth. Sometimes, you know, you can't even find a childhood picture hardly where you really like yourself. You know, I used to look at all my pictures and go, ugly, ugly. I was always ugly. Look at that look on my face. And, you know, but to find a childhood picture where I really liked myself, I had to go back to a baby picture. Sometimes people go back to 2 or 3 or 5. That's even kind of significant because if you stopped liking yourself in every picture from that age on, then there's probably something significant that changed in your life right there, whether you remember it or not. So I'm just telling you, if you have pictures of yourself, go through them as we're getting ready. We're not going into inner healing today, but it won't be long. If you want to kind of prepare yourself to see if you have any childhood issues, start going through your childhood pictures and just see what God does with that and see how far you go before you go, wow, I'm cute, you know. We're all cute babies, right? Well, not necessarily. But that's not today. Today we're going to talk about true love in action. Father, we just invite you. We love you. But we have no clue the depth, the height, the length, the width, the meaning of love that describes you. Because you are love. You are ultimate love. You are love beyond our understanding, beyond our ability. Lord, I cannot get over old John Rice saying, you ask him. John? Dr. Bob Jones saying that you ask him, did you learn to love? Lord, we want to talk about that today. Because if that's your question, we want to know how to answer it. So we ask for your Holy Spirit to just quicken your word, quicken your message, quicken us to receive. In the name of Jesus, amen. A thought came to my mind the other day. You know, the minute that you know you are loved and accepted, you're okay. But when we are under guilt and shame and anger, we can't function. So the devil would like to keep us under guilt and shame all the time. So first he wants to trip us up, give us bad thoughts, or get us to do something. Then he wants to just burden us down with guilt and shame, because in that condition, we become dysfunctional. We become very selfish. You know, guilt and shame is very self-focused. When you're going around like that, you're mean to everybody else because you don't like you. And you're mean to yourself especially. But your thoughts are on yourself. Why do I keep doing this? Why can't I be like so-and-so? Why can't I conquer this? Why don't I ever change? Anytime we're completely self-focused, we're miserable. We will be miserable. So the devil would love to keep us either in the pride of how good we're doing or in the shame of how terrible we're doing so that we are dysfunctional. But God said people just need to know that they are loved. Then they find hope and strength to try again, to move forward. The mind and the heart cannot function unless you know you're loved and accepted. Now, you can be hated by everyone in this world as long as you're loved and accepted by God, and that will work. Because in this world, if we give up every time somebody hurts us, then we would never make it through life. I mean, there's hurts all the time. Failures and disappointments, that's all part of humanity. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strifes, but love covers all sins. Hatred stirs up discord. Whenever there is discord, there is a hatred inside the heart. There is strife and debate. He says, but love covers all sins. Can you imagine that? No matter what sin somebody has done, love can cover it. The love of Christ covered all sin. He loved us beyond our worst sin. Proverbs 17:9. We're going to be in Proverbs a while if you want to write them down or turn there. Proverbs 17:9. He that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates very friends. When you hear somebody's sin and you tell it to others, you're separating them. You're separating good friends. You're planting seeds that make them think bad of someone else. But love will keep the matter. Now, when we conceal the matter in love, it doesn't mean you hide someone's sin. You take it to God. Pour it out to God. Pray for them. Pray for their deliverance, for their repentance. But we don't go and tell it to other people. You know, I ask God, you ask old Bob, did you learn to love? You know, when we get saved, God does something in us. I loved trees. I loved my enemies. I loved everything. When God moved inside of me, love moved in my heart. And I loved everybody and everything. But it didn't take very long before somebody offended that. And love wasn't there. So what does he mean when he says learn to love? How you learn to love? Because if love is only an emotion, you can't learn what you feel. If you just don't like someone, you just don't like them. But you can choose to love them. Because a lot of the time, love is a choice. It's a choice of action. I think there's times that God isn't exactly feeling all warm and gushy toward me when I'm being bad. I don't think he's up there going, my heart's overwhelmed with all this warm feeling, for I'd love to hug her. He's probably going, I'd like to slap her. Slap some sense back into her. But what does he do? Because love makes choices. And learning to love is, first of all, meeting God. So we've experienced real love. And then, like the word says, eat his flesh. Look at his life. Look at the life in the flesh Jesus lived. How did he love in action? What kind of choices did he make? Was he trustworthy? Was he forgiving? Was he merciful? You know, he was kind. He was patient. We have to choose those things when we don't feel them. And if you love anybody from your heart, your children, your spouse, your parents, then you've experienced those days when you don't feel like you love them. And you have to choose to do the right thing for them, though you really don't feel like it at all. You know, especially moms, got a lot of kids. I hear it. You know, the mom going, I'm a bad mom because I got so angry. Did you kill them? No. Did you take your fist out and give them a black eye? No. Why? The love of Christ constraineth me. Because I love them and I don't want to do something like that to them, even in the moment when I want to do it, I won't do it. That's love. When we want to do opposite of what God wants, he that loveth me keeps my commandments. Because we love him, the love of Christ constrains us. Learning to love is learning how to act in love, whether you feel it or not. It's practicing the actions of love. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it eat the fruit thereof. Do you know if your tongue keeps speaking cursing, your tongue keeps speaking hatred, that means you love death. Because your words are not only killing the other person, they're killing you too. You're eating your own poison. The word says the poison of an asp is under their tongue. Hateful, destructive words are poison. They send a poison to the victim, but they also poison ourselves. Proverbs 27:5, open rebuke is better than secret love. Open rebuke is correction. It's confrontation. It's reasoning with someone. And that's better than a hidden secret love. That hidden secret love is a love that it won't speak up. It says, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings because I really love them and I don't want to hurt them. You are hurting them. You are hurting them. Because open rebuke is better than secret love. That doesn't mean you're going to go up and say, I just got to tell you how rotten you're behaving today. No, it means because I care about you and because I care about your relationship with God and other people, I feel I've prayed and I feel like the Lord wants me to come and talk to you about this. Speaking the truth in love, because you love them, not because you want to straighten them out, but because you want to help them. That's true love. That makes some people mad. They don't want to hear any truth in love. They don't want to hear it. But in a real, true friendship, in a true relationship, there's got to be that depth of honesty. Or there's a wall. And we can all feel the wall. You know when there's a wall. There's something there because there's something unsaid. Because that truth and love isn't being spoken. And it builds a wall and things begin to change and fall apart. So how is that love? You're not hurting their feelings, but you're drifting apart. That's not good. Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. That's the easy verse, right? Love my enemy. I would rather avoid my enemy. I don't really want to shoot him. I'm not violent. I just don't want him to keep coming around, you know? Bless them that curse you. So what do you do when somebody starts cursing you? We curse back. That's human nature. So learning to love is learning how to respond even when somebody's cursing you, to turn around and bless them. That isn't an emotion. That's not what you feel. That is learned, practiced love. Do good to the people that hate you. Your heart can be breaking because they hate you. And God knows we're not just functioning robots. He could have created the best robots ever, programmed them to do anything he wanted. But he wanted people of a free will who would choose to forgive, choose to be kind, even to the unthankful and unholy. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot have two things that you're slaving to. If you are slaving to earn money, hold on to your money, and you say, but I love God more than my money, but my whole life is about earning money, having money, protecting my money, but I really do love God more than my money, the Word says that can't be true. You will slave to what you love. You will burn your life up for what you really care about, and it won't be money and God. It will be one or the other. Because if you think, I can love God with all my heart and give my life to making a fortune and worrying about money, you will hold on. You will hold on. The proof is in the pudding. You will hold on. You will cleave and serve the one you love most. So we can't hate our enemies. We have to practice loving. We can't love our money. We have to practice loving God, not loving money. Practicing love, learning to love. Matthew 19:19, love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love you, you can't love anyone else really. You have to love you. And most of us have a problem with that. We have a problem with it because this world has beat us up, kicked us around, lied in our face, told us things about us that is not true. And we have not experienced the fullness of who we are. That's why we're going to be going into some inner healing pretty soon. We need to see who we really are and begin walking in our true identity. Because then we can love other people. Is your hand up or are you, what are you doing? Oh, your hand's late. Oh, okay. Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I really loved this one. Because you think wax, cold wax is a hard candle. But when you light the flame, it begins to get real soft. It even goes liquid and then it melts down. You can watch it just melting. Well, God is fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And when we live and walk very close to Him, He melts us like wax. We become soft and pliable. But we stop reading the Word, stop going to church, stop talking to God, and we harden up like a candle. Our heart, our love becomes cold. And, you know, it's just like that we go back to only the ability of the human heart. And that's never enough love for God to be able to flow through us. We need His heart in us. We have to stay by the flame. I can't make myself love without the presence of God. Mark 12:33. To love Him, God. To love Him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more than all burnt offering and sacrifices. I think there's a reason God is wanting us to go through the love again. I mean, this isn't anything new. We've all heard these verses. We've all been taught about this. But you know what happened to the churches in the book of Revelation? They left their first love. Sometimes we get so busy for God. We give up things for God. We do things for God. We are serving God with all of our energy and strength and mind. But we stop spending the love time with Him. We stop the relation part. And you know, I was thinking about that. In all the things that we're doing, if we just get so caught up, like let's just say a disaster hits and we're rescuing people, and we're so caught up in the busyness, getting food, getting water, doing good things, helping all these people, getting them together. What are you doing over there? You're yellow. Get back in your zone. And, you know, we get all caught up in this for their good, taking care of these people. And we save their lives and they don't die in a disaster. But we don't show them the love of God. And we don't walk in the tight, close relationship to the presence of God. It says that all these sacrifices, all these actions, all these things, love is more. Well, what if we went out and all we did was hold one of them in our arms and let the love of God pour into them? And then they did die. But they made it into the arms of God in heaven. That's more than rescuing their body. That's more. So everything that we do, if we don't do it in love, it's just worthless. So we have to stay very close to God during this time. Things are coming. We've been getting warnings. Things are coming, and we want to be there. We want to rescue people. We want to do the preparations. But we have to do it in His love. And in order to do that, we have to stay very close to His heart. Or the love won't flow. We'll just be cold, hard candles. Luke 6:35. Love your enemies and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. You shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. You know, we think when we run into somebody who's just evil, maybe they're bad-mouthing God. Well, if God's so good, you know, and they start talking and we're like, you don't talk about my God that way. We want to defend God. But God is good because goodness overpowers evil. His love overpowers. I know I quote Graham Cook a lot, and I probably misquote him a lot. But I love that he got a call one day, and it was a male witch. What do you call them? Wizard or something? I don't know. Warlock. Anyway, it was a witch. I think it was a guy. And he called him on the phone, and he is cursing him. He's bringing up all his spells and swearing at him and cursing and putting all kinds of evil incantations on him. And when he's all done, Graham Cook says, "Is that all you got? Is that all you got?" And then he started pouring the love of God through that phone, telling this man how God loved him and wanted to help him and love him and rescue him. And the man hung up. But I think it was a couple years later that man came and found him and said he never got over it, and he finally gave his life to Christ. No matter how much vile he spewed, this man of God just poured love back at him. And love wins. Love wins. John 10:17, Jesus said, "Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again." We need to lay down our life. That is learning to love. Doesn't mean you go make your slave to another person. How many people could you do that to? I mean, you can only do that to one, because then you'd be day and night slaving to one person. But you lay down your life to God and let Him do what He wants through you to anyone and everyone. You don't have to know them. It can just be somebody sitting on the corner over there, and God says, go over there and give them a 20. You worked hard for that 20. You need that 20. But God says, lay down your need. Lay down your life when I ask you. and let me go love through you. You know, one question we can ask, especially if you're in any kind of a position of authority, and if you have children, you're in authority, if you have a ministry, if you have a job where people work under you, do you serve the people or do they serve you? Serve people. When God said if you want to be a minister, serve the people. You are more now obligated to pray for them, to love them, to know what their needs are. Serve the people. Don't ask people to serve you. John 13:34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." The true proof of a disciple of Christ is the love of God flowing freely through them. That's the only proof, because God is love. They can do miracles. They can call fire down from heaven. They can heal the sick. They can do all those things. But the proof that they're really a disciple of Christ is love. That is a disciplined follower of Christ, because love is the sign of that. In John 14:15, he said, "He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me." There's love in action again. We know what his commandments are. All the law is based on love. Every single one of the commandments, the Ten Commandments, is based on love. I've got that written somewhere. But if you think about it, don't steal your neighbor's wife. That's not loving him. Don't take his money. That's not loving him. Don't lie to him. That's not love. These are the commandments to live by a choice of action, even before you meet Christ. He had to lay down the law of love. Now, when we come to meet him, a lot of people say, "We're not under the law anymore." You are not under the law, if so be you're led by the Spirit. Because he didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it by living inside of us so that he could love through us, fulfilling that law of love. It doesn't do away with the commandments. And love is action. A lot of time when it's not feeling. Now, if I am letting God live through me, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to steal from you. Those are actions, no matter how I feel. And then he says, "He that has my commandments, he it is, and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." People go, "I want to feel the presence of Jesus. I want to stand in the presence of God." He will manifest himself, make himself known, if you love him. And how does he know you love him? You keep his commandment. And what did he command you? He said, "Love one another." And because his commandments are love, they're all based on love, because he's all about love and relationship. I remember one of my daughters, sometime during their teenage years, one of them, I think it was Jamie, she said, "I really thought about going out and doing this thing, but then I thought about you and how deeply you would be hurt and how disappointed you would be." She says, "I didn't want to hurt you." She couldn't stand the thought of hurting me, so she did not do the thing. That's where we have to be with God. Because we don't even know that degree of love until he's living in us. That's circular, because he said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." But then before he said he had to give us a new heart, because we weren't even capable of it. And we love him because he first loved us. Until you come into that kind of love, we can't, because base nature is proud and selfish. It's more like defend myself, protect myself. That's our base nature. We have to go against that. Laying down your life is going against your base nature to let the love of God rule. So how do we come into knowing God in this way? John 17:26, Jesus said, "And I have declared unto them your name." The name of God is who God is. It's his character. It's everything that he is. Love is a word, and it's, you know, in English, there's only one word for love. But in Hebrew, there were a few words for love. There was the affection, and there was the different types of love, the agape love that's beyond any. It's unconditional and unreasonable love, you know, that is of God. But we have to come into knowing who God is. Jesus said, I will continue to declare it, that the love of God, that the love wherewith, Father, you loved me, may be in them, and I may be in them. So he explained it right here. He said, I declare who my Father is. I go around telling people, do you know who my Father is? He's merciful. He wants to forgive you. Do you know who my Father is? He's all powerful and he wants to heal you and take all that pain away. Do you know who my Father is, Rick? He's the one who sees all your labor and he will bless you and benefit you for it because he's a fair God. Do you know who my God is? He's your healer. He's your deliverer. He is good. He's always good and he loves you and he created you. And that's what Jesus did. He said, I'm going to show the people who you are, because when they get it, then, Father, you and I can go live inside of them and they can come into oneness with us where we can restore them to their who they were created to be. And then we can transform them into who we're taking them to become. Man, if you get a hold of that during inner healing, if you get a hold of that, it's like my life just began. Everything behind me doesn't even count except for the training that I learned from it, because I'm about to find out who I am and walk into the future that God has for me, who he wants to transform me into, which is the image of Christ, conform to the image of Christ. And there is no happier place to live and to be. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, declaring who our God is. He is love. He's joy. You know, we go around as Christians with these long, mopey faces, like living for God is so hard. Try living without him. Same world, same sin, same enemies, same persecutions. Try it without him. He is not a God of sadness. He's a God that can give you an inner joy that nobody can take away. Even in the midst of grief, there's something that you've still got hope, you've still got joy. You can laugh when you're sitting in prison. You can laugh when your house burns down, because nobody can take Jesus away from you. There is a joy. There's peace. You know, as I get older, there's a lot of things that really scare me, like not having any teeth. That would be really scary to me, you know. I went to the dentist recently to get implants. I got false teeth when I was 27. Stupid dentist, bad advice. I had really weak, thin teeth, and he said, you need to pull them all. My bones have shrunk so bad that when I went to the dentist, he said, I can't even give you implants. Can't do anything for you. Nothing. Where does that put me in another 10 years? That's scary, isn't it, without God? But with God, I know where it puts me. It puts me in youth renewal. Probably be 20 by then. So I have peace because God has already told me. You know what? If I died tomorrow, I'll be 20 in heaven. And if I live another 20 years, he'll have to make me 20 because I couldn't keep it up in this body. I have peace because of him. Long suffering. Oh my goodness, I have tested him on that one. I've made him suffer long over many things. You know, when are you going to get this? It's for your own good. Why don't you get it? You know, as parents, we go, I told him that 100 million times. One day they turn 25 and start doing it. You know, and you're going, I didn't think they were ever going to get it. God is long-suffering with us. He never gives up on us. Right. He's gentle. He is so gentle. I've learned the voice. When I'm in big trouble because I've really done something, God does not come along and say, you did it again. I am just about done with you. I'm fed up with you. He just comes along. He just gets a hold of my heart so softly. He just gets it in his hands and he just squeezes my heart. He says, why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? And all of a sudden, I'm just feeling so ashamed and I don't ever want to do it again because I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to lose his presence. And that's enough. His gentleness, his goodness, faith, meekness, total opposite of arrogant pride. Temperance. He's balanced. He's so balanced. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit means to live in His presence. Now, we don't always feel His presence. I have days where I don't sense His presence, I don't hear His voice, and I whine like a baby. I hate it when you're silent, God. I hate it, you know. I hate those silent days. Those are the days you have to choose. Disciplinary action and behavior based on what you know He wants you to do, and do it. Now that's maturity, that's character, that's growth. You don't always get to feel it. But boy, you step out of doing it, and you'll feel it real soon. I mean, you'll feel the absence of His presence. That's what you'll feel, and that grieves us. No, He's not getting your attention with a 2x4. He doesn't hit us with 2x4s. All He has to do is whisper, and we cave in. We have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. We have to stop trying to get what we can get, protect self, think of self, just lay our life down. Just lay it all down, give it to Him. Don't defend yourself anymore. Don't, just let Him do it. Let Him take care of you. This is love. This is His love, and we need to practice it. We need to learn about it. Study it in the Word. Hear it in the messages. And practice it in our everyday life, in our actions, even when we don't feel like it. It's very important. It's very important as these times intensify that we walk in the Spirit and walk in love. Don't be in panic. Don't be pressured into things. Just back up into God. Take a step back into the Spirit and wait. Wait for His leading. And walk in the Spirit. But let us not leave our first love while we're doing this. Anybody want to say anything? Questions, words, talking? I might come around closer so you can get on the tape. Jennifer?
I hope so. That F1 tornado came through. Actually came through in the yard next to Dana and I. Like the yard, the house right next to us. And yet our yard, no, there were no broken branches. There were no leaves. It looked like nothing had happened. But the house next door, when it came through, it was struck by lightning. The tree was struck by lightning. And it snapped this huge branch. But it just fell straight down. It didn't. And I was sitting right by our bedroom windows, right on the same side of the house, by the yard, that yard.
So God protected you.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, I was awake. I was sitting right by the window because, you know, I couldn't sleep because it never can. But, but yeah, I mean, it's, and then walking here, like, day after, it's like I see pieces of insulation and the bee gone from Big Lots and, you know, all the branches and the, especially over here and here about.
Into the bathroom? We have ceilings coming down back there.
No, but I will have to go.
Beware of the second booth.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'd be in the right room if I get that scared. But it's like in walking through, it's like, and then I didn't feel scared, though. It's like I still had that peace. It's like I'm walking where God walked. I thought it was kind of cool.
Amen. That's right. He's the one that controls those. And you know, a lot of people want to blame God. Like, why did the tornado hit our church at all? Why weren't we protected? We're protected. But there was also warning in it. You know, it was the mercy of God to say, just like that. Now you need to be ready. You know, get ready. So, perfect love casts out fear. We don't have fear in those things. I love storms. I love lightning. You know, I if I had an upper deck, I'd go out and sit out there and watch the whole thing. I used to, but now we don't have an upper deck. Well, we kind of do. Somebody would have to go clean all the junk off. Any other comments? Anybody? Any questions? If not, while we're on the tornado, Nate, do you want to share what you brought? Your books. Well, first of all, we're going to give one to everybody on leadership. Well, every couple on leadership, right? Do you have them? Nate has done some research and come up with some pamphlets that help you prepare for disasters. They're very informative. I read through mine this morning. He wants to be sure everyone in leadership, so each couple takes one so that you can read them. And we'll be talking about them, even holding some classes later. But first, we want you to take them home, pray, read through them, get everything you can out of them, because that'll reduce questions when we come into class. And then beyond that, if you are interested in helping us when we have a disaster, we'd like to know anybody who would like to step up and help us take care of people or whatever, distribute food, bring foods, things that are non-perishable, waters. You know, they suggest that you have a gallon per person per day that you think you might need it. But then they say every time you buy new water, switch it with the old one so you've always got fresh water backup. You know, just keep changing stuff out. We've had food laid up for a long time, and occasionally I do that. You know, I put the new canned goods on the shelf and take the old ones out so they stay fresher. So if you do have a backup of supplies, keep rotating them so they're always ready and fresh. That's some of the things that they will tell you in pamphlets like this. So I'm going to say anybody else who is interested in having a booklet, see Nate. Yeah. Well, don't just pass them out, though, because then sometimes they go home and hit a trash can. But if you really want one, see Nate. If you're interested in being a helper here when something happens, make sure you come and tell myself or Nate or Leida. We'll take your name and number and make sure we can contact you at that time. No other comments? Questions? Anything?
I was just going to say, my real good friend, he's a police officer. He is in charge of all the emergency management for our county. This is who I went and talked with. Something very important I wanted to bring up is he had taken his church through this class. And so the advice that he gave me was to make sure everybody gets one. And then really go home and pray about them. Pray about what God wants you to do, what God, because things are not going to end up exactly like the book. I mean, God's going to speak to us in different ways. So we need time to pray over them. And we'll all come back together at some date, you know, when God releases us. So.
Okay. Father, we love you. We thank you for your words, and we just pray that we don't walk out of here with words in our ears or even in our heart, but that you take them deeper with your mighty sword to separating our spirit from our soul and plant them deep in our spirit so we own them, react to them, act on them in our life. We want to learn to love. We want to release you to love. So please help us to own the messages of love. Thank you, Jesus.